Well, I'm going to read a few scriptures for you out of Romans 8, 10 through 13, just three scriptures, out of the Passion Translation. And I like the first phrase, that's why I picked this. The first phrase of Romans 8, 10, it says, "Now Christ lives his life in you." I think it's a great phrase. What do you think? Now Christ lives his life in you. You can say that out of because of Galatians 2:20, you know. So, and even though your body may be dead because of the effects of sin, his life-giving spirit imparts life to you because you are fully accepted by God. Verse 11, yes, God raised Jesus to life. And since God's spirit of resurrection lives in you, he will also raise your dying body to life by the same spirit that breathes life into you. In verse 12, so then, beloved ones, the flesh has no claims on us at all, and we have no further obligation to live in obedience to it. For when you live controlled by the flesh, you are about to die. But if the life of the Spirit puts to death the corrupt ways of the flesh, we then taste his abundant life. Amen? How about you guys, but I like abundant life. Amen. Let's stand and pray and worship. So, Father, thank you so much for your life living, you living through us. I thank you, Father, for that. It's awesome that you live in us, live through us, and that you're glorified. So we pray that you be glorified through us today. I thank you for your saints here, Lord, that are awesome, awesome saints of God, glorious sons and daughters of God here, giving glory and praise to your name. So we give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
There's no way until you make
you
Can never
crush the serpent's head.
Comes out.
am alive. Dead things come alive.
One more time.
In the name of Jesus. Dead things come alive. Dead things come alive. Dead things come alive in the name
I call you.
I call you Jesus. I call you. I call you. Except for a heart singing hallelujah. you get shy on me, lift up your song. Cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord.
Come on!
Come on, my soul. Don't you get shy on me, lift up your song. Cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs.
Thank you.
This week I was studying about the supper, the Lord's Supper, and those two words, we remember, were just going and echoing through my heart. And even this morning as I was in prayer before service, I must have thought of about 300 things that I was remembering about what Jesus did for us on the cross and all the things he's done for us in our lives. Amen. And that's what this is all about, receiving, as we receive the bread of life. Jesus is our bread of life. We remember how much he really loves us, how much he cares about us, how much he's for us, always with us, never forsakes us, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we all have our own things that we can remember, you know, the things that he's done for us, the things that we're grateful for. When he said he had given thanks, he took the bread, he broke it, he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's eat together. After supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it, again, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes again. Let's drink together.
I surrender my life.
Well, I'd like to talk about freedom as sons and daughters today. If you go to Romans with me, Romans 8, verses 14. Romans 8, 14, the Passion. You can just use your translation, that's fine. Or whatever we put up there. It says, the mature children of God. When you see children, and you can just say sons, or you can say sons and daughters, are those who are moved by the impulses of the Holy Spirit. And you do not receive the spirit of religious duty leading you back into fear of never being good enough, but you have received the spirit of full acceptance, enfolding you into the family of God. And you will never feel orphaned, for as he rises up within us, our spirits join him in saying the words of tender affection, beloved Father, Abba. For the Holy Spirit makes God's fatherhood real to us as he whispers into our innermost being, you are God's beloved child. And since we are his true sons and daughters, we qualify to share all his treasures. For indeed, we are heirs of God himself. And since we are joined to Christ, we also inherit all that he is and all that he has. And we will experience being co-glorified with him, provided we accept his sufferings as our own. And I am convinced that any suffering we endure is less than nothing compared to the magnitude of glory that is about to be unveiled within us. See, the entire universe is standing on tiptoe. When you look that word tiptoe up in this translation, it literally means birds that outstretch their neck, or the worm from mommy when she shows up with the food. You ever see that picture of outstretched necks? That's what the word tiptoed means. Standing on tiptoe, yearning to see the unveiling of God's glorious sons and daughters. Amen. For against its will, it says in next verse, verse 20, for against its will, the universe itself has had to endure the empty futility resulting from consequences of human sin. But now with eager expectation, all creation longs for freedom. All creation longs for freedom from its slavery to decay and to experience with us the wonderful freedom coming to God's sons and daughters. And to this day, we are aware of the universal agony and groaning of creation as if it were the contractions of labor for childbirth. And it's not just creation. We also have already experienced the first fruits of the Spirit, also inwardly grown as we passionately long to experience our full status as God's sons and daughters, including our physical bodies being transformed. For this is the hope of our salvation. But hope means that we must trust and wait for what is still unseen. For why would we need to hope for something we already have? So because our hope is set on what is yet to be seen, we patiently keep on waiting for its fulfillment. And then verse 26, and in a similar way, the Holy Spirit takes hold of us in our human frailty to empower us in our weakness. For example, at times, we don't even know how to pray. Anybody ever had that experience? I have. Or know the best things to ask for. But the Holy Spirit rises up within us to super intercede on our behalf, pleading to God with emotional sighs too deep for words. God, the searcher of the heart, knows fully our longings, yet he also understands desires of the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit passionately pleads before God for us. That's intercession there, church. For his holy ones in perfect harmony with God's plan and our destiny. And so we are convinced that every detail of our lives is continually woven together to fit into God's perfect plan of bringing good into our lives. For we are his lovers. I got that one circled and highlighted in three different colors in my Bible. For we are his lovers, who have been called to fulfill his design purpose. For he knew all about us before we were born. Jeremiah 1:5, that's what he told Jeremiah. He says, I knew you before you were born. He knows all of us before we were born. Amen. And he destined us from the beginning to share the kindness and the likeness of his son. And this means the son is the oldest among a vast family of brothers and sisters who will become just like him. Having determined our destiny ahead of time, he called us to himself and transferred his perfect righteousness to everyone he called. And those who possess his perfect righteousness, he co-glorified with his son. Amen? We'll read the rest later. But agree or disagree, that's the question. So we live in a society that offers very little respect to others of another bent, belief, or persuasion. Agree or disagree? You know? Humility seems to be a thing past, even as Jesus' statement, do you want to be made whole? And though always ignored, all the much more in this virtual world that we are living in, so what do we then do? That's part of my teaching today. What do we then just do? Shall we discover what our Heavenly Father is doing? I think we should. And you know that's a rhetorical question. And the answer is yes. Christ himself, who didn't cling to the reality that he was God, appeared to us in love. John 3:16, the New King James says, for God so loved, amen, the world. What did God love? The church? He loved the world. He loved everybody. Nobody's left out. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In Job 34:13, in the New King James Version, it says, who gave him charge over the earth, or who appointed him over the whole world? The Lord Jesus Christ, he who created it all. Let's go to Colossians 1:15. Colossians 1:15, it says about Christ. It says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Verse 16, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. In verse 17, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. In verse 18, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. In verse 19, for it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell. In verse 20, the last one, and by him to reconcile all things to himself by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of the cross. He who has been given all authority by the Father is the same, the Son of Man, who had the entire world struggle and the ultimate rebellion nailed himself to the cross. And that's not only intense for me, that's incredible. You know what that means? To me, it means love does things like that. When you're in love with somebody, you'll die for them if you love them. But he doesn't stop there. He becomes our example of grace under fire. In Luke 4:32, in the New King James Version, it says, and they were astonished at his teachings, Jesus' teachings, for his word was with authority, not just any words. For the word demonstrated his life with power, and his authority was infused with love. You know, the Bible says in Ephesians, when you speak the truth in love. It sort of messes up your mindset a lot, but that's what it says. And he brings to us freedom in Galatians 5:1 in the Passion Translation. It says, let me be clear. The anointed one, Jesus, has set us free, not partially, but completely and wonderfully free. Can you say, I am free? I'm always free. We must always cherish this truth and stubbornly refuse to go back into the bondage of the past. And then I want to read this scripture to you. I have it written, but I'd like to read it to you as well. In Matthew chapter 9, verses 6 through 8. But now to convince you that the Son of Man has been given authority to forgive sins, I say to this man, stand up, pick up your mat, and walk home. Immediately the man sprang to his feet and left for home. And when the crowds witnessed this miracle, they were awestruck. They shouted praises to God because he had given such authority to human beings. He gave his authority to men. I mean, God came and gave his authority. Jesus came to give his authority to us. And I don't know about you, but I say, whoa, I think about that. See, therefore, free men, free men. You can't give what you don't have. But if you've been given that authority to free others, then you have the authority. And since Christ is the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world, he acts the same, no matter if it's before or after the cross and the resurrection. Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the very incarnation of love and grace, and the only answer for the human race. Sounds poetic, doesn't it? I'm rhyming things all of a sudden. Let's go to Colossians, back to Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. It says, because of that obedience, God exalted him and multiplied his greatness. And he has now been given the greatest of all names. It's talking about Jesus. And the authority of the name of Jesus causes every knee. But the authority of the name of Jesus causes every knee to bow in reverence. Everything and everyone will one day submit to this name in the heavenly realm, in the earthly realm, and even in the demonic realm. And every tongue will proclaim in every language that Jesus Christ is the Lord Yahweh, bringing glory and honor to God, his Father. Amen. He then expects us to live and move and have our being in him, which means we need to be authentic believers, sons and daughters, who actually live forth the life of grace, because we're called to wield truth, true authority. Matthew 28, verse 18 in New King James says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. And heaven and earth are filled with his glory. And we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And from his church, the bride of Christ, flows forth the river of life. It flows out of us all the time. We just have to learn to let it go. Because people are all around us are needy. You know, no matter where you go, you find people who are needy. And now that we know that we are God's glorious sons and daughters, don't you think it's time for Acts 29? Have you ever read Acts 29? Somebody way in the back said no, because there is no Acts 29. We're it. Because we are now free, don't you think it's our time to weave this all together into grace-induced acts of love for the world to see? Who is our source? Jesus, the great I am. Jesus proclaiming to us, I exist to reveal the Father to you. I exist as the original intention of grace, love, joy, and peace. It is who I am, and we exist to bring him good pleasure. Jesus says, I am the source of all that is good. I am the source of freedom. I am the source of your victory, and I am the source of your life. I am the source of all giftings, character, and miracles. I am the source of wisdom, might, and power. I am the source of all authority. And I am the source of your discernment, and I am the source of your ability. You can do all things through me. for I am your strength. I am your source for your royalty. I am the origin of your kingship. I am your priesthood. And it's my privilege to anoint you to go about doing good and healing those who are oppressed of the enemy. You have that ability. You're free. And you have the authority. Christ gave you that authority to minister to people all the time. He says, I am the source of your influence. I am the source of you as my delegated authority for my kingdom, and you are my ambassadors of love. I am the origin of your competency, and you have the mind of Christ. You can read that. It's all in the book of Philippians. Says, we have the mind of Christ. I'm the source of all your administrative needs. I am your freedom. I'm the source of your victory. I am, it is finished, and I am, it is done. And before you ever begin, you overcome in me. I am the source of forgiveness and release. I am your 70 times 7, and I am the origin and source of justice. And I am the kingdom presence in all that you do. I am your righteousness. I am the origin of all your increase. I am the flow of the newness of life. I am the open vault of heaven. And I'm the current behind all currency. And I am more than enough. And when one sets 1,000 to flight, two sets 10,000 to flight, three, 100,000, and four, 1,000,000. And after that, myriads upon myriads. And Jesus says, I am your upper room. Imagine my outpouring as I command forth my blessing from a place called unity. I am the source and origin of being exceedingly, abundantly, beyond all measure. I am your hope of glory, that which is beyond your greatest expectation. And I'm beyond the sands of the seashore, the stars of the universe, the atoms in creation, and the breath within every breath. I am the inkling before your thoughts, the dream before your reality, the beginning from the end, and was and is to come. And I am your identity, your authenticity, your authority, and I am that I am. And I am the yes and the amen. So go forth in my authority that I have given you, because I am all these things for you, to be all these things for the people who need it out there. Amen. The days of lack are finished, because I make all things new from the foundation of the world. We have heard many prophetic words over the years about a shift that's coming. I heard the Holy Spirit tell me, it is here. It's in the now. The shift equals the awakening, the epiphany of grace symphony, the all-consuming fire, the renewing, destroying every grave. Rise up, for the unveiling is here. Love's ongoing resurrection, rise up and awaken to love's beautiful perfection. The beloved son's ascension, the awakening, behold all things new. And the presence of the Spirit of truth, the way, the truth, and the life, radically and fully alive. Now awake and make no mistakes as we live within his very essence, as we thrive within his glorious patience, because the Father's love blossoms in our lives. Rooted, grounded in the fire of love divine. Free and unbounded, in his grace we thrive. Growing, flowing in his light of light, free from darkness. How do you know what darkness is? Just the absence of light. Put light out there and darkness is gone. And today, the end of strife, the end of striving, knowing that love cast out fear. Knowing that grace has given us ears to hear. Revelation 2:7 says, to one who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the ones who overcome, I will give permission to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. You want to know where the paradise of God is? In here, you. This is where the paradise is. You want to know where Eden is? Here, in you. Taste and see that the Lord is good, for his paradise is in your heart. Yes, your very neighborhood. The shift, seeing the kingdom of God in all the earth as the waters cover the sea, beyond the fulfillment of our wildest dreams and our far-fetched dreams. How many has ever had a far-fetched dream? And now that we're out there in the faraway future, but here in the here and the now, the Son of Man, the hope of glory, Christ in us, the ongoing story of love's amazing ongoing reconciliation of all, yes, all. And so with ears to hear the Father's call. And this is where most people say, who, me? You, dear one, are my son, my daughter, my love, my king, my bride, my wife, my priest. You are the apple of my eye, my image, and my likeness, my unfettered love, my joy, and my kindness. You are my government on the earth. You're my answered prayer. You're my son and daughters being birthed. You're my unbridled promises of infinite worth. Who are you but my settled gaze, who are free from sin, removed from the haze with a heart ablaze? I am yours, you are mine. Oh, my love, you are a glorious refined. Yes, my dear ones, you are wonderfully designed. You are mine. Yes, all mine. Wondrously untwined, beautifully and divine, graciously free from time. Do you realize that? We're eternal now. Nothing's stopping that. So rest. And recline. If you don't have a recliner, buy one so you can experience it. And drink deep, my bride, for you are my glorious sons and daughters. You are free. My joyful ones defined. You are my new wine. You are my new wine. Let's go back to Romans Chapter 8. Again, Romans 8, 19, Passion. The entire universe is standing on tiptoe, yearning to see. What do they want to see? The unveiling of God's glorious sons and daughters who have all authority. All the sources that I just mentioned, you have them all. So be the revelation of the love of the Father to those around you, to those you meet, to places you go. Be the revelation of the love of the Father. Be the beauty and the reign of grace instead of raining on their parade. We're not called to be judges. We're called to be lovers. Be the peace for those who are troubled. Be the daughters who will birth joy in the hopeless. Be the love who embraced the wounded, and be the fresh drink to the thirsty little flower who is putting down roots to one day become the oak of righteousness. And may his grace upon grace and peace saturate your being as you drink deep. Rest and sleep. Drink deep of heaven's fullness. Your cup overflows. Eat and drink. Rest in peace. For you, my love, are absolutely free. Romans 8, 31. This first phrase, you're probably asking yourself, and based on what I preach, it says, so what does this all mean? If God has determined to stand with us, tell me, who then could ever stand against us? For God has proved his love by giving us his greatest treasure, the gift of his Son. And since God freely offered him up as a sacrifice for us all, he certainly won't withhold from us anything else he has to give. Who then would dare to accuse those whom God has chosen in love to be his? God himself is the judge who has issued his final verdict over them, not guilty. Who then is left to condemn us? Certainly not Jesus, the Anointed One, for he gave us his life for us. And even more than that, he has conquered death and is now risen, exalted, and enthroned by God at his right hand. So how could he possibly condemn us, since he is continually praying for our triumph? Who could ever separate us from the endless love of God's Anointed One? Absolutely no one. For nothing in the universe has the power to diminish his love towards us. Troubles, pressures, and problems are unable to come between us and heaven's love. What about persecutions, deprivations, dangers, and death threats? No, for they are all important. They are all impotent, to hinder omnipotent love. Even though it is written, all day long we face death threats for your sake, God. For we are considered to be nothing more than sheep to be slaughtered. But yet, even in the midst of all these things, we triumph over them all. For God has made us to be more than conquerors, and has demonstrated love. His demonstrated love is our glorious victory over everything. And so now I live with the confidence that there is nothing in the universe with the power to separate us from God's love. And I'm convinced that his love will triumph over death, life's troubles, fallen angels, or dark rulers in the heavens. There is nothing in our present or future circumstances that can weaken his love. And there is no power above us or beneath us, no power that could ever be found in the universe that can distance us from God's passionate love, which is lavished upon us through our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One. Amen.